I'm being flamed by the chat for my description of Little Women. And so that before we move on to 1994, I'm going to do you an extra service by reading three episode titles. The Big War in Pajamas, First Time Making Pumpkin Pies, and who could ever forget Naughty Joe Riding a Bicycle.
Listen to the song Take Your Way from the anime Devil Survivor 2 by the artist Live Tune. This is Chiaki and this is episode 181 of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, where our sole mission is, take it away boys,
to make your anime addiction
worse.
I like that double team.
Next time I'll let you have two words.
Ooh.
Thank you. You're so kind.
I am joined, as you can hear, by Cram and Mitsugi. So, say hi.
What's up, everybody?
You know you miss me. My smart-ass antics.
I never.
Were you ever gone? did you go somewhere?
Actually, in 181 episodes, I only missed like two.
Wow.
Maybe one.
I wish there was a trophy for that.
You can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes. Don't forget to drop us a rating, especially if you like us. Every time you give us a rating, Son Goku gets a Dragon Ball. You can also like us on facebook.com/animeaddictsanonymouspodcast. Give us a like to always be involved in what we're doing and never miss a live episode announcement. Twitter.com/AAA podcast, where you can hear our instantaneous rantings and ravings, especially as Mitsugi is watching anime.
Yeah, sometimes when I see something stupid, I tend to reactionarily go onto Twitter and say, wow, episode 7 of that show really sucked. Or, et cetera.
That sounded really pointed. Are you talking about something specific right now?
No.
Wow, episode 7 of that one show that we're all watching. Wow. What a piece of shit. did you guys see my figure?
I did not see your figure.
Look at it. Isn't it great?
It is. What is it? What is your figure today, Cram?
Today's figure is Miroku from Inuyasha.
Does the figure have like a hole in his hand, or does he have the thing covering it?
I don't know, actually. The other hand is the one he's holding the staff with.
He looks like he's about to throw some cards like Gambit from X-Men.
I think these are spells or something.
They're talismans.
But yeah. Yeah, I this is actually my wife's figure because I hate this show. So
it's a nice figure. Yeah, and Miroku was a tolerable character.
Did you ask her permission, Cram?
No. No, she's asleep. She's sleeping. I just take things while she sleeps.
Spoken like...
I'm a man. I take what I want.
Spoken like a true husband. And speaking of husbands, we actually have some new segments that we're going to be introducing to the show.
Oh, yeah. Let me explain.
Yes. Go ahead, Mitsugi.
So I was thinking, I like the show format we have going on. I think everybody's used to it and it's comfortable, but I want to introduce some new things, and when we finish doing impressions, there's normally some extra time to do whatever. So, for example, last episode we had 10 minutes left before we needed to really wrap it up. So, I was listening to ESPN radio like I always do, and you know, they tend to have the best stuff, so. And I figured, why not throw in some fun little short segments to fill in the time that we don't have for impressions? So this would be something that would happen after one of the news breaks. And a couple of the ideas that we've come up with are The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is a segment that will cover something having to do with anime where we classify it as good, bad, or ugly. And people could make submissions on this. You could PM me or mailbag it. And probably what will be the most popular segment is...
Oh, I doubt it.
Chiaki's, she's calling it Addicts Need Love Too. I think Chiaki's Dating Advice Corner. I like that one also, but...
Well...
Chiaki's Corner of Love. It's an alliteration.
Chiaki's Corner of Love. Actually, if you go to our... My corner is only going to exist as long as you... Oh, wonderful listeners, send me questions that you want me to give my astoundingly rich experience of dating advice to. And if you go to the website now, there's a new tab under the mailbag button. You can still click the mailbag button to get to our normal mailbag. But there's a new tab called Chiaki's Bag of Love. And if you want to put something in Chiaki's Bag of Love, I will read it on the show, and I'll give you my advice. And this is for anyone. This is for people who are looking to date. These are for people who are looking to hook up. These are for people who are in a relationship or even married. I'll cover it all.
Can we call it Chiaki's Male Sack of Love?
No, I don't have sacks.
So perhaps you are a boy in school or a girl, and you find yourself in a Kimi ni Todoke-esque situation where... two people like each other, but they're just too shy to realize it. And you want to make sure that your love is realized before the 52nd episode. Chiaki can help you improve this timeline by maybe 20 to 30 episodes.
Yes.
And then maybe you'll be like the guy in Fotokano who has, like, you know, 5 or 6 girlfriends that all profess their love to him in, you know, every single episode.
So I'll teach you how to be like that guy and not the guy from School Days who... Who, well, we all know what happens to him.
Well, the guy from Sora no Toshimono, who, like, stuffs panties in his eyeballs and nose and stuff. Gotta hate that show.
Chiaki's first relationship advice. There is no point in which it is ever acceptable to stuff panties anywhere. Unless it's into a washing machine and they're your wife's.
And, of course, I hope to have some... A Cram, Roko, and a Kimiko-themed short segment also, which have yet to be determined, but expect those soon. So, but like we said, these perhaps can only exist so long as you submit things. So there's a new mailbag button for Chiaki's Mailbag on the website, and of course you can contribute to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly through PM or through mailbag submissions. So...
All right, and speaking of, as I mentioned earlier, we really love it when you drop us reviews on iTunes, so we are going to read one of the 5-star reviews which we have received recently. This is Tom is Tom? Are we doing the Thom? Thom?
T-H-O-M is T-H-O-M. Just spell it.
Yes, T-H-O-M is T-H-O-M. Well, other podcasts devote... the whole episode to a single specific topic. AAA breaks it down into general news, the main topic, and reviews, ultimately meaning that if by some weird chance you don't care about the topic at hand, you can still enjoy the other parts. The hosts are real fans of anime and talk like it. Yes, we are! Meaning they don't act like 13-year-old girls wearing hug me signs or constantly talking about amazing jiggle physics. Overall, listening to the podcast feels like you're in a college anime club, even allowing you to join in through the chat or using their forums. All of this is true. I approve of this message.
There will be no jiggle physics on this podcast, ever.
What about my jiggle physics?
Or mine.
Ooh, cram.
My physics do not jiggle. I can, however.
They just explode with muscles.
I can piku-piku, though.
Oh, that's right.
What's piku-piku mean
yes.
to
me?
Yes,
a little peck pop.
Little peck pop.
Can you do it for our listeners watching? Maybe they can see it. You got the quality turned up.
Piku. There you go. Piku piku. Piku piku. Piku piku. Piku piku.
I can hear your pecs popping.
No, you can't. Okay, so
those would be some awesome mics. So, let's see. Forum members, welcome. Tycheol. I just look at it and I want to call them Tylenol. So I'm going to call you Tylenol.
Some poor guy is screaming at his computer right now. It's Tycheol. It's Tycheol. You had one job, AAA podcast.
And you can't even get that right. You should know by now that Chiaki cannot read.
No, I can't. I can't. And it's just the AAA spin.
She is blonde.
Trivia. Chiaki forgot to put it up.
What happened to the trivia? No trivia?
Sorry.
What?
I forgot.
Does that happen?
It does happen.
It does happen. Oh.
It's not on like a timer or anything. I have to go in and manually change it, and sometimes I forget.
I'd say we average like maybe one missed trivia question a month.
Really?
It's okay. She's blonde. She's
once
blonde.
A month.
She's
not blonde. Even, wow.
That bad. The theme is still winging it, and new one's up. So,
I don't know, and I don't know the answer to this one either.
Yeah,
because I apparently suck.
You don't suck. Well, you do a little.
All right, I'll read this one. An almighty anime mailbag. You can make mailbag submissions on the top page of the forum by clicking
not forum
of
website.
The website. Sorry, by clicking the mailbag button titled mailbag. So, Siren writes, is it more enjoyable to watch an anime when the main character, A, is extremely weak in the beginning and slow to become stronger and stronger, B, strong from the beginning but lacks different characteristics which he or she develops along the series, or C, extraordinarily strong from the beginning and overpowers everyone throughout the series?
I have to say I like B. Just because really, really, really wussy characters. I mean, obviously, if they grow, it's less of like a sin for me. But the question is, which is more enjoyable to me? And I think I like characters that are just strong from the beginning, but they have something that holds them back that they have to overcome.
I like B better also.
Strong as in psychologically strong or like physically strong?
Well, based on C, which says overpowers.
Sounds like fighting.
Sounds like fighting and, prowess. Yeah.
I'm
going to knock A out because I always get angry when you have like a really weak character. There was an anime I watched recently that was just like this.
But one of your favorite shows is Hajime no Ippo, and that's exactly how that starts.
Yeah, like, but yes, but let me finish. So a lot of these shows will have a character that's incredibly weak, and then over the course of 6 or 7 episodes, they become incredibly strong, and I say, what a bunch of BS. Like, that would never happen that way. It's just unrealistic expectations, especially when a show has a more of a realistic setting. Hajime no Ippo, there is a lot of training and shit that happens in that show. So,
I mean, like all of these, you know, frameworks for like a character's strength, whether it's physical or psychological, like all feed into different themes. So, I mean, I think all of them are enjoyable for different reasons if they're done right. I mean, if they're in the right story.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I can't say that one is more enjoyable than any other for me.
My least favorite would be C, probably, because it's just not fun to watch a character dominate other characters. There's no competition. There's no suspense of the outcome, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like in sports. You wouldn't want to watch a pro team play like, you know, Little League baseball. There'd be no fun at all. You know, except when like a 6-year-old boy gets pelted with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
I would say for the sake of like a compelling story, one that's not even on here is that a strong character who goes up against things that are stronger and stronger and stronger, and eventually like he becomes overcome with what he's gotten involved in, or he or she has gotten himself involved in, whether it's, you know, a psychological issue or like, you know, kind of man versus environment or whatever.
So a show that I would put in B currently is like Hunter x Hunter. Gon is always like naturally strong. He's like Kid Goku, you know. But overcoming trials and developing new skills along the way, he becomes a more powerful character over the course of 80 episodes or whatever. So, I would say B, but I think you're right. They can all be enjoyable if done properly. So,
would you like to read the next one, Crab?
Yeah, I will. So, Miss Raspberry Heaven asks two questions. What is something you missed most about your home while you're in Japan? And what is something you miss most about Japan while you're visiting home? That's a good question.
So
I don't want to do this, but I happen to have the song Raspberry Heaven. I'll hit right here for you.
Now we have that nice background to answer this question. The first thing that comes to mind is, what is something I miss about Japan when I've gone home before? And this has only really happened once for me, when I went back after living here while studying. But I missed how polite everyone is here, and the service standard, and the general cleanliness, and the positive things that the group think brings, basically. That, you know, you put the whole before the self, and as a result, everything's cleaner, everything's quieter, everything's nicer, everything's easier, everyone's more polite on the whole.
I think, for me, basically, it's the same thing. The things that I missed from the States are obviously, like, friends and family, and then, other than that, just, like, junk food.
Corn
like
weird, bread.
Yeah, kind of weird kind of junk food. Taco Bell, I miss Taco Bell.
Whoa. You have all the hundreds of millions of foods that aren't in Japan that are in America, and you pick cornbread? So disappointing.
Cornbread's good, dude.
Cornbread's really good.
Cornbread might be good, but
you ever had,
so
you ever had that Jiffy mix? It's like cake.
Oh, right, so we're just gonna pass on like buffalo wings.
No, I mean all that stuff.
I don't like buffalo wings.
The stuff I miss is stuff that's bad for me, except for like. I mean, like, I do miss the convenience of being able to do some things in my native language, because I mean, speaking Japanese as a second language makes everything harder.
Yeah.
Everything. But at the same time, you know, the things that I miss about Japan when I'm home are, you know, everything else. Like, literally everything else. The quality of everything. The quality of life, the quality of service, you know, the politeness and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the hell with Philly cheesesteak. I'm still talking about cornbread. All we need is cornbread. We
don't need Philly cheesesteak.
I do. It's so good. I want one right now.
The hell with dill pickles. We don't need that.
I don't like pickles.
Jeez, what is wrong with you? I don't even know. Who are you?
Bacon, Bobots Go just asks bacon, ? Bacon, yes, but we can kind of get bacon.
They have bacon here, and it's better.
I don't know about that. What kind of bacon do you got?
All right, so if you go to Hanamasa no Niku, the wholesale meat market, not only can you buy like the same cut of meat that bacon comes from in the States, but you can get it in like a giant brick.
I saw that you had bought that.
Like a 4-pound brick.
Is it legit?
Now, you can get it pre-sliced or not sliced, and I prefer it not sliced because you can make, like, giant, like, centimeter-thick cuts and just put that slab on your skillet. Thickest, most amazing bacon.
Ew.
The thing is it
doesn't... Whoa. Ooh?
I mean,
you don't
thick-cut bacon? It's supposed to be thin. Like, I like crunchy bacon.
It's still crisps if it's thin. You can cut it thin, too.
Oh, okay.
But if you want, like, a nice thick-cut bacon, you can get that, too.
Welcome to the Bacon Cast.
Welcome to the Bacon Cast.
Bacon.
Viewership has increased 10,000%.
Bacon.
Actually, just as an off note, I sent my sister chocolate covered bacon just as an I love you present.
Sent it to her from here?
No, I ordered it offline and had them mail it to her.
Okay.
House.
I was about to say, what witchcraft did you come across chocolate covered bacon in Japan?
We should make some cram.
With Meiji chocolate? Oh,
Oh, snap. Oh, shit. Okay. So I think we answered that question. Just as a general reminder, 9:30 p.m. is our new broadcast time. But don't forget to keep an eye on the forums and Facebook and stuff in case that changes.
Saturday,
9:30 p.m. EST. There's a poll currently running on the main site for which live streaming provider we should use. So don't forget to check that out. On this show, we're talking about best animes from year 1990 to 1997, and then we have a review on the anime Genshin. So don't go anywhere, because we'll be back with our main topic soon. Titan Slayers out there. This is Chiaki, and this is your Anime News Break. First up, a very popular anime series, manga, is set to end. It's the July issue of Square Enix's monthly Shonen Gannan magazine has announced that Atsuki Okubo is ending his Soul Eater manga in two more chapters. If the manga runs the final chapters without a break, the manga will end in the September issue on August 12th. The manga entered the final battle in the June issue, and the chapter in August issue will depict the climax with a color title page. The manga launched all the way back in 2004 and has had, as I mentioned, an incredibly popular anime. So if you're someone who's been following the manga and a diehard fan of the series, there is an end in sight. In other news, something that has taken the arcades here by storm and the console market but hasn't quite made it to the US yet will be coming soon. Sega has recently confirmed that it is releasing the rhythm game Hatsune Miku Project Diva F in the West. It will debut in North America on both the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Network in August, while it will be on the PlayStation Network in Europe. This will be the first console game of the franchise with a Western release. The demo will be available soon, so if you want to try out the game, you can try it out for free. And speaking of things ending and video games, the final installment of a popular franchise will be coming this year. Square Enix has recently revealed that the final chapter, Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy XIII, will be released for the PlayStation 3 on November 21st. The company also began streaming the official E3 2013 trailer for the game. Lightning, Snow, Noel, and other characters make appearances in the trailer. You can find it on YouTube. Square Enix also unveiled Final Fantasy XIII Lightning Ultimate Box, a premium set that will be released on the same day. The box will be packaged with all three games in the Final Fantasy XIII series, a soundtrack album packaged in acrylic disc case containing carefully chosen various tracks from the trilogy, a pamphlet containing original costume designs, and a play arts figure of heroine Lightning as she appears in the upcoming game. The box will retail for about 26,000 yen, which is about $260, and will be sold in limited quantities from Square Enix stores. Normal copies of the game will cost 7,770 yen, about $78, but it's always a little more expensive here for games in Japan, believe it or not. In other news that will make Kimiko happy, Kami no Mi zo Shiru Seikai Megami Hen, or The World God Only Knows Goddess's Arc, the third television series of World God Only Knows, has been scheduled to premiere on July 8th on the TV Tokyo station. So get ready, God Only Knows fans. This was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back to the show soon.
Hi, my name is Tadao Tomomatsu, host of Anime Sushi and international actor and interviewer.
And I am an anime addict.
No. I'm an anime addict.
And we're back to the 181st episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. We keep on keeping on, making your anime addiction worse.
Yeah. That's what we love
to
do.
So glad we're back. I was about to have a panic attack. I'm no good on my own.
You guys complete us.
So, Cram was asking me what review we gave the anime Berserk during the news break, and it indeed did get a 4.5.
4.5? Okay. Yeah, the ending is kind of...
bullshit. There is no ending.
Yeah, well, considering that the manga's still going.
That anime needed to have continuous seasons. So bad. Anyway, so the reason we were talking about that was because this topic, the best anime years from 1990 to 1997, is created as a follow-up to the episode we did on episode 49, which was the best anime years in general, in which we decided as a group that 1998 to 2002 are the best anime years. And that is because you had animes, in 98 alone, you had Berserk, Bubblegum Crisis, Cowboy Bebop, Cardcaptor, Outlaw Star, Trigun, Initial D, Lane, in his and her circumstances.
It's just, it's a good 5 years of like a constant stream of just classic stuff coming out constantly.
It continues to 2002, where you had Azumanga, Chobits, Full Metal Panic, Full Moon Osagashide, Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, Dot Hack Sign, Hellsing, Hibane Denmei, Naruto, The 12 Kingdoms, Witch Hunter Robin, and Razaphon. Some of those are kind of arguable, but this five-year span contains like half of the shows that are mentioned as being, you know, forever greatness.
Some of the other shows that came out 1999, 2000, 2001 worth mentioning: Crest, Banner of the Stars, GTO, Hajime no Ippo, Now and Then Here and There, Big O, Rurouni Kenshin OVA. There's just a lot of really, really amazing content.
Millennium Actress, I mean, and that doesn't even really include some of the Ghibli movies, you know. So since 98 was the furthest back year during the topic in episode 49, we decided we would close out the 90s by going from 1990 to 1997. So this topic is essentially a breakdown of the best anime years and during that time period, and also us recommending some of the particularly great shows from that time period. So it's interesting to go back and kind of look at the shows that come out during a specific year and saying, oh, you know, wow, I didn't realize that came out. Like,
it's kind of the state of the industry, state of the fan culture and whatnot.
I learned a couple things, actually. So I'm not sure how you guys want to handle this, but I figured we would just go through it one year at a time. So
that makes the most sense. So 1990. In 1990, we had Nadia, Secret of Blue Water.
I have not seen this show, but I know that it was pretty well received. Have you guys seen this?
I saw a couple episodes once, but I haven't seen it.
We watched a couple episodes because I know it was like very acclaimed.
Mm.
And it's based off of the 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah.
But I didn't like it.
The one of the things that I remember about this show was, and I think I had read it in Animerica maybe, is that when they dubbed it several years later, I guess, they used voice actors that were age appropriate to the characters that they were playing. So instead of having, you know, an adult woman playing a little boy, they had a little boy playing a little boy and a little girl playing a little girl, which is, as I understand it, as I remember it, was kind of a big deal because it was maybe the first time they had done that for an anime, like bringing it over here and, you know, hiring age-appropriate voice actors, children, actually.
Before we really get into this topic, I want to drop a piece of information on you that might blow your face off.
Mm.
You're going to be very surprised. So last year, 2012, do you want to take a stab at how many anime series were released?
2012?
How many?
50.
And this is based off of the Wikipedia that sort of...
I don't know, 50. No, there, it's got to be more than that.
There's a Wikipedia section that categorizes all the animes that come out by year. So this is assuming this is correct. 146 anime series came out in 2012. That's a lot, right? All right, now we'll go back to 1990.
Kids on the Slope is in there somewhere.
How many anime series do you think came out in 1990? 146 came out in 2012.
50.
19.
What?
According to this.
That's crazy.
I mean,
are these ones that were localized or produced and released in Japan?
There's no way these were localized because there's a lot of stuff here I've never heard of.
Okay.
Even if these numbers aren't exact, the point still remains is that there has been an exponential increase in the number of anime that has been put out. And that just goes with computers and the process becoming cheaper, easier for smaller studios to put their horse in the race, basically.
1990 was a really weak year. I mean, I'm looking at the list here, and there's only a few animes here that I've heard of.
Mm.
Let's play a game. I'm gonna read some animes, and when you've heard of them, someone go ding or something, okay?
All right.
Brave Ex-Kaiser. No? Here's one you've heard of, probably. Chibi Maruko-chan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watch that sometimes.
Karasu Tengu Kabuto.
No.
No. Kyato Ninden Teyande.
Nope.
Magical Angel Sweet Mint.
No.
That's obviously a magical girl anime.
No.
Magical Tararuto.
Tararuto.
Nope. No. No, not that one. Machine Hero Wataru.
Nope.
Moon Men.
Oh man, I love some Moon Men.
Yes?
No.
Moretsu Ataro.
Definitely not, dude.
Musashi the Samurai Lord.
So these are part of the 19?
This is 1990.
Yeah, part of the 19 that came out in 1990. Yeah. Wow.
And then there's My Daddy Long Legs. Don't know what the hell that is. Naughty, A Secret of Blue Water. We know that
Ding.
One.
I want to watch My Daddy Long Legs.
NG Knight, Lamune, and 40. Robin Hood, no, Daibo Ken. Samurai Pizza Cats.
Samurai Pizza Ding. Cats. Ding, yeah.
Sunset on 3rd Street. Tasuke, the Samurai Cop. Tensai, Bakabon, and the Three-Eyed One. So what, 3 out of 19?
Good grief.
Yeah, these were not localized. So
anyway,
kind of a weak year for anime, 1990. That's what I think. So
I would say that 1991 gets significantly better with just a couple of titles even.
So we all epically failed that year. So in 1991, let me get the number of animes released in 91 here. In 1991.
We got a Ghibli movie.
25 animes released in 1991.
25, okay.
What were some of the notable animes, Cram?
Well, there was City Hunter and Getter Robo Go and, of course, Only Yesterday and Silent Mobius. And, of course, the standout here is, of course, City Hunter. I mean, only Yesterday, sorry. I missed this isn't, Freudian slip.
This is another year where I looked down the list and I was like, I don't know these anime. They're before my time.
I mean,
time.
Yeah, of course, man. Like, I mean, that's going to happen. If you go back to like the 80s or like before this, you'll probably find years where there was an entire year of anime that you've never heard of.
There's an anime that came out in 91 called Kinnikuman.
Oh, I know Kinnikuman.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long-running manga.
Yeah, yeah, he looks weird.
He's jacked.
Big.
Like, he's really big. He's bulky.
Yeah.
And then there was a Dragon Quest anime in 1999.
Oh, that's right. There was.
Yeah. Die no Daibo Ken. But yeah, I mean, I went through the list, and even like City Hunter, that's not even like that great of a show.
No, it's
not. It was just one that people know.
Yeah.
So, basically,
it comes on Animax sometimes, so if it's on, I'll put it on and watch it.
The way that I did this was, if it was a show that I thought people would recognize, I put it on the list.
Mm.
If it was a show that people would recognize and it was an exceptional show, I put it in bold.
Mm.
Okay, so, just to give you an idea. So, 1991... I thought it was a weak year.
But Only Yesterday is good.
It is, but it's... Do you think that it's one of the weaker Ghibli movies?
It's trying to do different things from most of the Ghibli movies. I mean, it's not... It's
Takahata, so I expect that.
Yeah.
But it's also really slow.
It's slow, and it's very deliberately paced. I mean, it's not... Yeah, it's not like...
It's like listening to...
Slam bang action. No, nothing.
It's like listening to Christopher Walken talk.
but that's amazing.
Yeah, but it lulls you to sleep.
Yeah, I guess so. James Earl Jones.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So, but there are some anime... I promise that in this topic, there are some anime between 1992 and 1997 that you'll say, oh, wow, that was a good year. We'll get to those. So, Chucky?
Yes?
Well, why don't you... help us out with what I think is a better year.
So 1992, I think 1992 we're starting to get shows that...
22 shows.
Isn't this the year Chiaki was born?
No, well, I'm older than that.
That was 2002.
That was a joke.
For those of you that don't know, Chiaki's actually only 12 years old.
I am, actually. I look great for a 12-year-old, huh?
You know what? That's a thought. It would be genius to have a podcast member being actually very young. It would give a completely fresh... Something that no other podcast does. Yeah. Why doesn't any podcast have like a 9-year-old member?
We need a really old timer too, and all he talks about is Astro Boy and Speed Racer.
You could have an old timer that calls in for the old timer minute, like gives you
old guy.
Back in the day of anime, I remember when Gunbuster was big.
Mm.
Anyway,
sorry, but that's a great idea. Okay.
So I think. We're going to start recognizing more and more years, starting with 1992, because if you look at it, Sailor Moon started in 1992, and its original run was 1992 to 1993. And then there was Sailor Moon R, 93 to 94, and Sailor Moon S, 94 to 95. And the reason why I think we'll start noticing years now is because at this point, Sailor Moon was licensed in America by DIC and Funimation with the help of a bunch of other studios in 1995. So that was one of the first, I feel like, one of the first big anime hits. I know there was anime on television before Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z, but I feel like that was what really put anime on the map in America. That's the point in time that if you look back, you can say, this was when people who had no idea what anime was at least knew that Japanimation stuff, you know?
Be careful. Dragon Ball is older than Sailor Moon.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is...
It started like the 80s, like 89
or something. Yeah, 89 or 88.
But 95 was when Sailor Moon was licensed in the state, and 96 was when Dragon Ball Z was licensed in the states. And so...
Oh, Sailor Moon won up in Dragon Ball.
If you think about it, the anime runs 92 to 93, gets a little bit of popularity in Japan. In 93, they start entering talks for licensing. It's not done for production and release until 95. So the delay is why I think people will start recognizing more and more anime from 1992, because anime after this year that came out in Japan had more of a chance of making it over to the States, even with the time delay. So 1992, we had Crayon Shin-chan, which, you know, I like the American South Park dub of I'm not going to lie.
No, it's pretty awesome.
I put Crayon Shin-chan in here, and I put it in bold because it's just a show that has, it's, despite people maybe liking it and not liking it, it's influential one way or the other. There's like 30 Shin-chan movies.
So many.
It's like Doraemon. It's a staple of anime here in Japan.
I mean, it's a cultural touchstone. Like, you'll be hard-pressed to find someone who doesn't know Shin-chan.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you tell them that in the States we've made it pervy, they're like, what? It's really funny.
It's hilarious, actually.
Also, Sailor Moon, as I mentioned, Yu Yu Hakusho came out in 1992. Tekkamon Blade. And Porco Rosso.
Yay, Porco Rosso!
Yay, Porco Rosso!
Porco Rosso needs way more love than it gets. Way more love than it gets.
Yeah, way more. That's the Miyazaki film that everybody skips. I'm like, what?
Why?
I don't know.
Why? It's so good.
They just don't understand. Yeah, people just don't get it. It's really sad. The best anime from this year is Porco Rosso, but I think Yu Yu Hakusho, Sailor Moon, and Shin-chan, 92, I think, is a strong year because these are three shows that had everlasting staying power.
Well, I mean, I think just influentiality.
Yeah.
Making up a word. Maybe not. Sailor Moon, of course, takes a cake, obviously. Like, it was so important to the industry, not only in Japan, but like the way it just kind of exploded in the States, you know, before Dragon Ball. Like,
how about Cooking Papa? That came out in 2002.
Cooking
or
Papa.
1992. Cooking Papa.
I like Cooking Mama.
I do too.
How about Genie with the light brown hair? That came out in 1992.
Genie, what?
Oh, you haven't heard of that?
Oh no! Yes, I have. I watch that all the time, every day.
Thumbelina, A Magical Story, came out.
I've actually heard of that.
You have, ding.
I don't know anything about it, but I have heard of it.
There's actually, weirdly enough, there's a Japanese version of the Thumbelina story that's part of like Japanese mythology.
Whatever.
It's Oyayubi Hime or something like that.
If I have to recommend anime from this year, I'm going to recommend Yu Yu Hakusho and Porco Rosso. I'm just not really that huge on, like, you guys.
I mean, I really liked Sailor Moon when I was a kid, and I got shit for it, too.
The difference for me between Sailor Moon and Yu Yu Hakusho is that I feel like if I go back and watch Yu Yu Hakusho now, I'm still interested. Mm-hmm. If I go back and watch Sailor Moon, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just maybe that's just because it doesn't appeal to me.
You going
to
watch the new one this year?
No, I won't. I'm not going to watch
crazy.
It. Well, I mean, this next... Well, we can talk about the upcoming anime season in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's not exactly good.
No.
It's pretty bad.
I wouldn't use that adjective.
Enjoy the next 3 weeks while the spring season's still running. Cherish it. So, 2002 or 1992 was a pretty good year.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, and the one thing that I'm noticing is that the closer we get to the the lauded 1998 to 2002, you know, chunk of years. The closer we get, the better the years get.
Yeah.
Like, every year is better than the year before.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. So, moving on, I guess, to 1993, we have shows like Irresponsible Captain Taylor, Mobile Suit Victory Gundam, Ninja Scroll, Pat Labor 2, and Macross 2, and Dragon Ball Z History of Trunks.
There were only 17 anime that came out this year.
Well, for 17...
17
for,
series.
For only 17 series, or you know, for a not particularly prolific year for anime, I would say that there's some really good stuff on this list.
Also, Hello Kitty, the TV series.
They did make an anime out of that? I didn't know that there was ever an anime of Hello Kitty.
I think it's really interesting how... The way it looks to me, and the way that it's going, is we have 2 years, and then we have a big year that was big in the States. So, like, 1990, 1991 were, you know, kind of build up, whatever. Then 1992 was a huge year for the States. Well, it ended up being a huge year in 1995 after the licensing and dubbing happened and distribution happened. But 1992 was a big year for the States.
Yeah, all this anime made it to America.
And then 1993 and 1994 were kind of... All of these anime... are popular, but they were more subculture. They came over, went direct to video, and if you were an anime fan, you clearly knew about them because they were getting distribution, but it wasn't like it was on TV. And then you have 1995, which I won't go too far ahead because we need to do 94, but then it's like 2 years and then a big year type of thing. So,
have you heard of the anime Little Women 2, Joe's Boys? It's Little Women Jesus. 2, which means that there was a Little Women 1.
Little Women is a book.
I know that. It's also an anime.
They made a sequel?
It's Little Women 2, Joe's Boys.
Little Women 2, not so little anymore.
And then there's Little Women 3, and then the Desperate Hour, the hentai.
And I would be remiss if I did not mention Mooka Mooka Paradise.
Oh, who can forget that thing? Whatever it was, you know what?
That
one of the things.
Show.
Ninjas, like looking back at like watching Ninja Scroll again. How long has it been since you guys have sat down and watched Ninja Scroll?
Not since I was way too young to be watching. I know, right? It in the first place.
It's not good, guys. It's not good. But
it wasn't even good back in the day. It was just like holy shit.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. It was one of those kind of rental store champions, that thing where you watch it, like you pick it up on a whim and you're like,
I have to tell
everyone I know about this movie, this crazy shit that I just saw.
I talked my mother into buying that movie for me, and then I made her watch it.
What did she say?
She was like, I'm a terrible mother. What have I done?
I think what's interesting about Ninja Scroll, though, looking again culturally on a timeline, I feel like Ninja Scroll coming to America and having, like I said, becoming well-known in anime circles and anime fandoms, I feel like it was one of the first anime that made even people in the anime fandom really go, this really isn't for kids. There are anime out there that are completely not to be consumed by young people. And granted, I think it's ironic that half the people who did consume Ninja Scroll consumed it because they didn't know that fact and they were too young, which was me. But I think there's something to be said for that because in the West, and this is something that when I was in undergraduate, all my studies on anime, I talked about it. But in the West, there's this notion that cartoon equals for children. And there's not this notion that. And I think it's slowly starting to develop as we get newer movies with more adult innuendo in them. But there's not as much of a belief of cartoon is as much for adults as for children.
Right.
Where over here, it's a lot more go both ways.
So I'm still on Little Women here. So Little Women.
Drop it, dude. Get off Little
Women. I'm doing it, man. Little Women 2, Joe's Boys is a follow-up to the 1987 anime release Little Women. And it's about Josephine March, who has grown into womanhood about 10 years since the original anime, and is now married to German professor Frederick Barr. In the Plumfield farmhouse that Aunt March left her, Joe Barr has established a new school for her two sons, Robbie and Teddy. nephews, and a young gang of orphan children, including Non Harding and a rough, streetwise adolescent named Dan. This anime ran for a year. It has 40 episodes.
So Farron2 in the chat wants to take Chiaki's point to task, and this person says that they think the stereotype that in the States animation is mostly for adults, they think that stereotype is dead, and their point is that, you know, Family Guy, and I guess South Park and all those things, but to me, to defend you,
m'lady. No, I think he does raise a good point, and that's what I'm saying, that animation and Western perception has shifted to be more like the Japanese perception. But what I'm saying is, especially at the time when these animes were coming out, cartoons were for kids.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 96, 95. If you showed Ninja Scroll to anyone 96, 95 and go, oh, it's an animated film, they're thinking like Disney and
right, because that's the only frame of reference they have. But like, you know, talking about what Farron just said, I think outside of the comedy space, pickings are really slim, man. Like in the West for like serious adults, like in animation that's intended for an adult audience. And you know, you've got foreign films like the guy who made Waltz with Bashir and stuff like that, like those kind of things, but they just don't happen that often.
That's yeah. And that's the other, I agree. Outside of, there's adult comedy in cartoons, but there's not like just dramatic stories or just adult themes in general.
So I'm being flamed by the chat for the reading of my description of Little Women. And so before we move on to 1994, I'm going to do you an extra service by reading three episode titles. The Big War in Pajamas, First Time Making Pumpkin Pies, and who could ever forget Naughty Joe Riding a Bicycle.
Man, titles have really, we should have a whole topic about how titles have changed.
Yes.
Like so much. Because back in the day, you would probably never see the title of a show be something like, my little sister goes to the same school as me and we happen to be in the same club and I think I might be in love with her. Season 2. You know?
Yes.
Okay, so 1994 actually has a lot of anime that I've heard of, believe it or not.
And like I said, or 1994, right. Go.
1994.
Do it, Mitsuki.
Okay, so 1994, the animes I've got here are Blue Seed, which I think we all watched in like Sci-Fi Channel, or the Action Channel. Captain Tsubasa, which is an absolute classic soccer anime. Macross 7, Magic Knight Rayearth, Marmalade Boy, and probably the best from the year, Pompoko.
Pompoko! Scrotums.
Can that be my ringtone?
Pompoko! Scrotums.
Get your scrot on! Get your scrot on! With little furry balls.
What is? Do you guys know the full Japanese title of this anime? It's like just a block of kanji and then pompoko at the end. It's I think it's Heisei Tanuki Gassen Pompoko. I think that's what it is.
Also, there was, I didn't include these, but there's also Marmalade Boy, which I've heard of, and Mobile Fighter G Gundam.
Man, good year. Every year is better than the year before.
Yeah. Oh, and who could forget the animes Montana Jones and Super Pig?
Oh, Super Pig. I love that anime.
I don't know. I'm pretty loyal to Spider Pig, though.
Spider Pig.
Spider Pig. Spider Pig. Does whatever a spider pig does. Can he swing from a web?
Probably not.
He's a pig.
No, you gotta finish it now. You've started it.
Look out. Here comes the spider pig.
Mike.
So you were reading the full title of Pompoko, and it's Heisei Tanuki Gassen Pompoko.
Heisei Tanuki, yeah, that's what I said, I think. Probably.
or the Heisei era Raccoon Dog War Pompoko.
Yeah.
Which everybody here knows, even little kids.
And which doesn't really play all that well in the West. It does, people just don't really get it.
They just don't give a shit. It's an environmentalist movie.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, I mean, the scrotum thing really throws everybody off.
It's hilarious.
Get
over it, people.
Yeah, it's hilarious, but to the people who don't find it hilarious, it's just off-putting. Like, it's a huge distraction for them. Which, you know, that's that's in one way how culture, you know, kind of colors our perception of art and how we criticize things artistically. But I love this movie though.
There are also some movies here that of course there's a Crayon Shin-Chan movie every single year. Dark Side Blues, which I've seen, and oh my god,
is it good?
That's a dark, gritty ass movie. No, not really. That's one of those movies that shows up. That only showed up on like Action Channel because it wasn't suitable for any other channel. And of course, there's a Doraemon movie, Bio Broly. God help us. Both the second and the third Broly movies came out this year, which it's enough to make me throw the year out already. Those movies were awful. Fatal Fury, the movie, Princess Knight, Sailor Moon S, the movie, and Street Fighter 2, the animated movie. So there's a lot of movies, but...
Oh, I like that one. I like Street Fighter 2, the animated movie. I did when I was a kid. It's been a while.
I wouldn't really call any of these movies all that great except Pompoko, but I'm a hater. I mean, maybe there's a listener out there that loves Bio Broly. I love a Dragon Ball movie that only has Trunks and Goten in it.
Wasn't there a Street Fighter Alpha movie, too, that was pretty good?
In fact, we recently gave a gift to one of my friends this morning who loves Street Fighter, and I gave him a giant full-size Street Fighter Alpha cell. You were there. Oh, you were there when I purchased it.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's a picture of Ryu... watching his face, expression on his face when he's watching Ken getting his ass beaten by Akuma.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's kind of like this.
It's like, holy shit.
Yeah. Damn. I was there when you bought that. Memories.
I want to talk to Samson.
I want to talk to the man with the smiley face. So 1995.
Let's move on to a better year.
All right, so 1995, anime, the volume of anime is starting to pick up. We had 32 animes in 1995.
Snap. That's a veritable buttload. A
buttload, yeah. So, without further ado...
What came out in 1995, Mitsuki? Or Chiaki, or somebody?
Fushigi Yugi.
Whoa!
Whoa! I loved this show. I watched it with my sister.
This is a fairly long list here.
H2 manga. Neon Genesis Evangelion. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of that one. Maybe.
A little known show.
Yeah. I've heard some people who like it. Along with this one, Mobile Suit Gundam Wing.
Oh, snap.
The rest of these are movies.
Ghost in the Shell, Memories, Whisper of the Heart, Macross 7, and Macross Plus.
Macross Plus! That thing is awesome.
I love Macross.
I love, especially Macross Plus. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's some great movies this year. This was a year for movies, I think. I mean, Ghost in the Shell alone.
Macross Plus was an OAV, wasn't it? It was like, it's 3 45-minute episodes, right? Or is it 4?
Oh, I don't remember. It's 4. But here's a tough question for you. So Whisper of the Heart and Ghost in the Shell movies both came out this year. Which movie do you think is better? Granted, they're completely different movies.
Whisper of the Heart or Ghost in the Shell? Whisper of the Heart. I think Ghost in the Shell was more influential, and I think it definitely brought more fans into the fold. But as far as just what I think is a more successful film, narratively and thematically, and all that good stuff that I talk about, Whisper of the Heart definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I asked basically because of the influentiality of Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
Also, we had, from this year, we had El Hazard, which I didn't write down.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of a big deal.
And Wedding Peach, Tenchi Universe, which I threw out all the Tenchi crap.
When did Tenchi Muyo come out? Was that 80s?
I don't know. I blocked it from my memory. Did we say Slayers?
I don't know.
No, Slayers came out this year.
Oh, did it?
Slayers, Saint Tail. There were a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff that came out in 1995. Yeah. Bakudetsu Hunters, which I've seen about half of that, I think. Street Fighter 2. V.
Yeah.
So 1995, we're starting to pick up here, but yeah. I think, without a doubt, the ones that I highlighted on the list, I think, are the most important, which
Was Slayers 95 or 96?
Oh, I don't know.
It's in there somewhere.
Yeah, so Slayers, so the original run for the Slayers anime was April 7th of 1995.
Okay.
So Neon Genesis Evangelion, Gundam Wing, Ghost in the Shell, Memories, and Whisper of the Heart are probably the best anime from the year. Macross Plus is also excellent. But I definitely think that amongst those, the most important are probably Gundam Wing and Evangelion.
Mm.
Just because it helped to continue, it helped to build the popularity, it continued to build upon the popularity that Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball had begun to create.
Not to mention, I would argue that it was the first real introduction of mecha into mainstream American culture.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, I know there were other Gundam shows that came before, but to have both of these shows have runs on television and be popular and have primetime slots, I mean, Gundam Wing was a 5, 6, 7 p.m. slot, something like that, in the Toonami block. I think that alone made them very influential.
I mean, no one can deny the influentiality. Again, I'm using this made up word, I guess, but of Evangelion. But I honestly think that Gundam Wing probably was more influential in the West than Eva was, because it took a while for Eva to pick up steam in the West. Like, no doubt it's been, you know, huge for the industry, and it's still huge for the industry, what with the rebuilds going on, and you know, so much Eva branded product is sold in Japan every day. It's ridiculous. The fact they still make it is kind of mind blowing. But you know, it didn't have a block. I think Eva didn't have a block on Toonami until
when they were doing late night, I think, was when they started. I think it started at like a 10 or 11 p.m. when they start doing Toonami After Dark.
The Midnight Run.
Or Midnight Run, yeah.
And that was a few years after Dragon Ball Z had kind of blown up, you know, post Sailor Moon and Ronin Warriors and stuff like that. All the stuff that they used to be playing on the old Toonami.
I think we need to pick it up, but here are a couple that you cannot forget from 95, okay? Mama Loves the Poyo Poyo Saurus. Neighborhood Story. Nurse Angel Rinka SOS. Ping Pong Club. And Romeo's Blue Skies. Can't forget those.
Wow.
Okay, 96. In 1996, we're continuing to increase here. 34 anime released in 96. So, with the volume of anime increasing, I guess you would just assume that there are more that would make the list. In 96, there are also a bunch here that I have written down. I wrote a copy down, Boys Over Flowers. Detective Conan, Case Closed. Huge. For the same reason that Shin-Chan's on here. Martian Successor Nodesco, Rurouni Kenshin, and Vision of Escaflowne. But without a doubt, the best anime of this year is Vision of Escaflowne. There's absolutely no doubt.
Most influential is Conan.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%. But Vision of Escaflowne is a better anime.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Kron in our chat, and I just realized that he was answered, but asked when Creamy Mommy came out, because our friends over at Anime Souls, that's one of their forerunners right now for potentially getting funded. That was 1983, so that's way back in the day.
Did we miss? Oh, maybe we didn't miss it.
There are some other shows here that I think people will recognize from 96. You have Saber Marionette J, Those Who Hunt Elves, The Violinist of Hamelin. These are all...
Icy Rose asks when Cardcaptor Sakura came out, and it was actually 1998.
Yeah, it's in the golden era.
Yeah.
With the rest of the office.
Naturally.
And Gegege no Kitaro.
Oh, yeah.
Big.
Yeah.
But we can't forget Hell Teacher Nube. What the hell is that all about? Is it that's either a teacher that like beats his students, or it's a teacher that like actually lives in hell and teaches demons?
You never know.
It's a horror comedy. Who the hell knows?
Ha! You made a pun.
Yeah, I did. That's great. But so it's a pretty good year. There's definitely more notable shows from the year, but I think that there are fewer shows that are sort of amazing. That makes sense. So you have, I think there's a bunch of mediocre shows like Those Who Hunt Elves that made, that both made it to the West and is known by people, but there's a lot fewer gems in this year, 96.
Mm-hmm.
So not wasn't a whole lot other than Rurouni Kenshin and Escaflowne that really jumped out at me.
So moving on to 1997.
Such a good year. Oh, it's so good.
Who knew? The closest to the golden era.
In 1997, we had Flame of Rekka, which I just like reading because of our listener, Rekka.
38 animes this year, so it continues to climb.
We had Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Yay!
Boo.
What?
Just kidding.
You're
just
crazy.
Kidding. Okay, good lord.
Now that I have a job, I might finally buy one of the rose signet rings for like $100.
$100?
Actually, I think they're a little closer to $200.
Good grief.
But
that's ridiculous.
Pokemon, which I don't think we even have to comment on the importance and
Gotta catch them all.
Original 150, bitches.
151. Don't leave Mew out. Come on.
I guess. Okay.
Cold-blooded.
Slayers continued. Princess Mononoke. I don't know. Little-known film there.
Yay!
And Perfect Blue.
Also, yay! Except for the rape scene. It's really uncomfortable.
It's meant to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it's kind of genius the way it's done. 1997 is a really good year.
This is a good year just because Pokemon's in it. That alone makes it a good year.
I used to watch a lot of Pokemon when I was a kid. Way too much Pokemon. But there was this, I had this weird disconnect in my head about what Pokemon was versus other anime that I watched. Like, when I watched Pokemon as a kid, it didn't, for whatever reason, it didn't register as anime. Like, I was just watching Pokemon because I liked Pokemon. I liked the game. And then I would also watch, like, when I would watch things like Dragon Ball or Sailor Moon or whatever, there was kind of the idea in my head that's like, this is different. This comes from Japan. I'm watching something cool and new and interesting. But Pokemon was just Pokemon to me, which is weird. I don't know why that disconnect existed.
I think that for a year that had so many shows, there weren't really that many that were good. But there are several others that I've seen that I didn't write down. Burn Up Excess. I regret having seen that. Battle Athletes. Clamp School Detectives, Cutie Honey Flash. Just keep going down here. Those Kindaichi Case Files, Vampire Princess Miyu, Tenshi in Tokyo.
Tenshi in Tokyo!
Oh my goddess. So there's a lot of shows in this year, but I wouldn't call any of those that I just named particularly good.
One of my friends and I, when we were kids, when we discovered that if you reduce Tenshi in Tokyo's title to an acronym, it's tit.
Man, this show is
literally tit.
It's tit, man. And of course there's another, who can forget Tokyo Pig? There's a pig anime in this year too. What is with that? It's a pig anime every year, it seems like.
I don't know.
I just don't get it.
Well, I guess that rounds out 1997.
I'm just curious, like 1998 is obviously the year when things became crazy. Amazing.
Yeah, it gets real.
So, there were 38 shows released in 97. I want to see how many were released in 98. 60. So, there you go right there.
Big jump.
Perhaps it's because of the volume that 1998 was such a good year. But so, 60 in 98, and then in 99, 67. So, I guess you're seeing a higher proliferation of shows. But then in 2000, it dips down to 48. 2001.
When did it jump up over 100 per year?
2004. 111. This is just series. There's always movies to also.
Why do you think that happened?
I think anime caught fire, and also Japan had the bubble.
Oh, right.
So the economy was booming
naturally. So. But they were going through the bubble through the 90s. So I don't know why production wasn't bigger. I guess it just had to pick up speed, and then by the time the bubble burst, they were like, we happen to be producing over 100 shows per year now. So
yeah, I don't have the answer, but I would speculate that it has to do merely with the population of anime.
Yeah.
Anime is exploding right now, and both internationally and in Japan. So
But yeah, like you could call that chunk 1998 to 2002 a golden age. But I think that 1990 to 97 is definitely a type of silver age. I think there's a lot of good stuff that came out. You know,
if you had to, let's take a minute here and to sort of answer the question of the topic: what are the best years from 1990 to 97? What pick 2 years? Which ones do you think are the best, and why?
I think probably 95. I think 95 for me is probably the best year, because with Fushigi Yugi and Eva and Gundam Wing and Ghost in the Shell, and you know, we've got a Ghibli movie in there and Macross Plus, like there was just a lot of stuff that came out that year that was really, really influential, and it feels kind of like the heart of this chunk of years.
I want to say 95 too, but I'm just torn because I love Escaflowne. I think that anime is an example of getting everything right. And so it's really, really hard for me, but I'm going to have to go with 95 too.
Escaflowne really did get everything right, didn't it? Nothing about that show sucks. Nothing.
If you go back and watch it, you'll find something.
I don't think so.
You'll find something that
sucks.
I
don't know, man. I don't think so.
You'll find something that sucks.
There's no filler. 26 episodes. Music is full orchestral. The animation's great.
The cat girl is more irritating than you remember.
Yeah, but she's only in like 4 episodes.
Truth.
So, I mean, come on. That knight guy in the beginning, Gaius or whatever.
Bobatsuko doesn't like the character design, and I kind of agree with him a little bit.
But that's personal
taste.
The noses,
it's the noses.
Something. It's personal taste, though. You can't fault it.
No, they're objectively ugly.
Okay. All right. I would say I'm really torn between 3 years here. Obviously, 95 is probably the best year. I agree, because it just has more shows that were influential. I mean, Evangelion alone, it's like practically its own industry. And the other two that I'm torn between are 92 and 97. 97 because it has Pokemon and Princess Mononoke and a number of in a dozen or so shows that people know but are sort of, in the middle. And then 92, because it just has a number of shows that hadn't had really strong sticking power, like Shin-Chan and Sailor Moon. But in the end, I'm gonna go with 95, 97.
Yeah, I think 95 is popped up enough that, I mean, even people in the chat are saying 95, 97. Yeah, definitely the strongest years.
So, now that we've picked the best years, 95, 97, let's go back and, because there's a lot of shows that from this time period that people have missed, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of people that started watching anime in the last few years.
Right.
Let's go back and pick maybe 5 or 6 shows each that we think people should watch. We don't really have time to explain why, but maybe if people are interested in going back and watching shows that represent the 90s well, they can write these down and go back and pick them up and go, oh, I should watch this.
I have mine.
All right, go for it.
Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Yes, I agree.
Princess Mononoke.
Yes, agree.
Vision of Escaflowne.
Agree.
Mobile Suit, or Ghost in the Shell.
Yes, agree.
And for me, I think you can either go Mobile Suit, Gundam Wing, or Neon Genesis Evangelion. Whichever one tickles your own boat.
Yeah, I would say that's probably my list, too.
And a close runner-up is Sailor Moon, but I feel like most people have probably already gotten exposure to that. And there's a new one coming out soon.
Perfect
hopefully.
Blue would be good, because, I mean, if you haven't been introduced to Satoshi Kon yet...
You should be.
Watch Perfect Blue, please.
I would
add Perfect Blue to that list, definitely. I certainly wouldn't recommend everything on the, on all of these lists that we've mentioned, but... there's just so much good stuff in here that people, I think, are not going back and watching and not appreciating the stuff that came before. Which, to be fair, I'm guilty of, not going back farther than this, and I don't watch the good stuff that came out of the 70s and 80s all that much. But
so I'm going to give mine. I'm not going to pick any Ghibli movies because it should be a given. Everybody should just own a collector's edition of all the Ghibli movies. Everybody.
My collection's coming along.
It's very nice too. Blu-ray even.
The Japanese packaging for the Blu-rays is awesome. It's so
it
just minimalistic and beautiful.
So I'm also not going to pick any movies, so this is just series. And I will say that I'm going to pick Vision of Escaflowne again. I will say Rurouni Kenshin. Evangelion, because you just need to see it. It's whether you like it or not, you should see it. And so that's three. Sailor Moon, and I'm going to say Yu Hakusho over Utena, because I just think Utena is a good show, but it's not going to appeal to that many people.
What? What? You're crazy.
There's a lot of people that would watch Utena and go, "What the hell?" and just stop watching it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good show, but
it's so good.
If you're trying to represent,
you just said Utena is a good show.
Is that a first?
I never said it wasn't. Because Cram's here.
I'm influencing.
I never said it wasn't a good show.
He knows
ever.
It's good.
All right, I challenge a listener to find an episode of the podcast where I said Utena was not a good show.
If you're not comfortable with your sexuality, yeah, I mean the show is pinker than the Barbie aisle at Walmart, but you know it's wonderful.
It's also confusing. Like, what one of the characters turns into like a sword. Or some point. Or just turns into a car, like a Buick.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
Stupid. It's too much.
That's the movie. And the movie doesn't make sense if you haven't consumed the show in full.
It drives me
What's
crazy.
That anime where that girl turns into that Buick station wagon and drive down the road into the sunset?
It drives me nuts when a show...
The other girl's naked on top.
It drives me nuts when a show has a message to give and it goes out of its way to be convoluted. Drives me crazy.
This is a whole nother topic.
Symbolism is one thing, you know, cleverly delivering your message is another thing, but just completely failing to cohesively deliver your message to the point where half the listeners have no idea what's happening is another thing.
I'm not getting into it with you, but I disagree. I disagree with...
You're my friend, Cram. All right, we hope you guys enjoyed that, and hopefully you found some anime that you'll be watching soon. We're going to take one more anime news break, and then we'll come back with a review on Genshin. So, stay tuned!
Hail, you Titan Slayers out there. This is Chiaki, and this is your Anime News Break. First up, a very popular anime series manga is set to end. It's the July issue of Square Enix monthly Shonen Gannan magazine has announced that Atsuki Okubo is ending his Soul Eater manga in two more chapters. If the manga runs the final chapters without a break, the manga will end in the September issue on August 12th. The manga entered the final battle in the June issue, and the chapter in August issue will depict the climax with a color title page. The manga launched all the way back in 2004 and has had, as I mentioned, an incredibly popular anime. So if you're someone who's been following the manga and a diehard fan of the series, there is an end in sight. In other news, something that has taken the arcades here by storm and the console market but hasn't quite made it to the US yet will be coming soon. Sega has recently confirmed that it is releasing the rhythm game Hatsune Miku Project Diva F in the West. It will debut in North America on both the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Network in August, while it will be on the PlayStation Network in Europe. This will be the first console game of the franchise with a Western release. The demo will be available soon, so if you want to try out the game, you can try it out for free. And speaking of things ending and video games, the final installment of a popular franchise will be coming this year. Square Enix has recently revealed that the final chapter, Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy XIII, will be released for the PlayStation 3 on November 21st. The company also began streaming the official E3 2013 trailer for the game. Lightning, Snow, Noel, and other characters make appearances in the trailer. You can find it on YouTube. In other news that will make Kimiko happy, Kami no Mi zo Shiru Seikai Megami Hen, or The World God Only Knows Goddess's Arc, the third television series of World God Only Knows, has been scheduled to premiere on July 8th on the TV Tokyo station. So get ready, God Only Knows fans. This was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back to the show soon.
Hi, my name is Sonny Strait, voice of Krillin from Dragon Ball Z, and I'm an anime addict.
Kamehameha, bitches!
And we're back to the last part of our awesome episode of Awesome.
It's my turn.
Is Kimiko here?
Hi. I'm back.
Kimiko. Kimiko, I missed you.
I missed you too.
Oh, Kimiko, let's scissor.
Okay.
And oh by that, God. I mean cut out colorful shapes of construction paper, you perv.
I need an adult.
So what are we doing in this last segment?
I don't know. It's basically your segment.
Introduce me.
Oh, rude. Sorry. I didn't mean to be rude to the Cram. Cram's gonna do a review now. Okay, go.
Cram, do review.
Ready, set, go.
Cram, do review. Cram, do good.
Chiaki has a story. Can Chiaki tell a story?
Sure.
First?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Quickly.
Okay.
It better be good.
I was walking around the other day at this store called Viva Home, which is kind of like Home Depot.
And the ground was totally flat, but I tripped.
I didn't trip. Though my cart did get stuck on a crack, and I couldn't push it over the crack, and a guy came and helped me. But I was at Viva Home the other day, and there's music, and then there's Muzak, which is like instrumental elevator music of like popular songs that just like do 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 do. There was one of those, and it was a Full Metal Alchemist opening. And that was my story.
Wow, cool story, bro.
Well, in the locker room at my old gym, I used to, you know, hear all kinds of music from Naruto and all kinds of stuff while looking at old man wiener.
My favorite thing is at our local grocery store, Yelko Marketplace, they'll occasionally play a Muzak version of the Raiders March. It's amazing. But anyway, real talk.
Yeah.
Serious business, guys.
Serious.
Come on.
Stop playing.
So I will be reviewing a show called Genshin, and I'm just reviewing the first season. There are a couple of OAVs and some. There's a second series, and then there's a third season that's starting this summer, I believe, or sometime this year. But this is just the first season. But yeah, so Genshin. This was produced by Palm Studio, and I don't really know anything else that they've done that was notable. So Palm Studio. For what it is. Directed by Takashi Ikehata, who was an episode director for Girls in Panzer, Strawberry Marshmallow, and Inuyasha. It was written by Michiko Yokote, but only 5 episodes, so it had a bunch of writers, but she wrote the brunt of the series. She wrote the biggest chunk of episodes. But she was also a scriptwriter on Oh My Goddess, the movie, Rurouni Kenshin, and the current season's Red Data Girl, which is one of the shows I'm watching. Music by Masanori Takumi, who produced music for Claymore, Koikaze, and the Witchblade anime. So Genshin follows the story of university freshman Kanji Sasahara. After perusing the various booths at the annual club rush, Sasahara settles on the club known as Gendai ni Okeru Shikaku wo Chūshin to shita Bunka no Kenkyū. Which is
translation.
Bless you.
It gets reduced down to Genshin, right? The title of the show and also the name of the club. But the translation of the club name is the Society for the Study of Modern Visual Culture. Now, right off the bat, this really hits me in a nostalgic, a real natsukashi place. Because when I was in high school, I also started an anime club. We're like a general kind of Japanese media club. So anime, video games, you know, that kind of stuff. And this really touched me because my club name was also similarly vague and self-important and kind of hiding the fact that it's basically a bunch of people that like to get together and watch Japanese cartoons. But the name of my high school anime club was the Far East Media Club, which we shortened to FEMSI.
FEMSI.
But yeah, that was the name of my club. So when I heard, like, when I first saw this in this series, the Society for the Studying of Modern Visual Culture, I was like, oh, the Far East Media Club.
The name of the anime club at my college was shortened to RACE.
RACE, what did it stand for?
Rollins Anime Club for Enthusiasts.
Oh, okay, that's good. See, I mean, you put it out on Front Street. Mine was a little bit more vague. Like this. That's why I like this so much. It brings me back. But this, you know, this kind of club turns out to be an all-encompassing otaku club, which is exactly what Sasahara wanted. They cover manga, anime, video games, cosplay, plastic models, you name it. Genshiken has its geeky toes dipped into it. So right off the bat, it's not the prettiest thing to come out of the anime industry, but as a character piece, it doesn't really need to be. The most visually impressive sequences are that of the imaginary at the time anime Kujibiki Unbalance, which kind of exists within the show, like it's a show within a show. Eventually, they did make an OAV or a series of Kujibiki Unbalance, which I watched like two episodes of, and it's atrocious. But the show is a favorite among Genshiken's members in the show. The show overall has a nice visual style that isn't too overblown. It really feels like it could make an easy and natural transition to the live-action medium if it wanted to. But for what one could certainly call an otaku show, the pandering and fan service is almost non-existent, which is so, so refreshing compared to a lot of the stuff you see these days, things that, you know, call themselves otaku shows or what are clearly, you know, pandering otaku shows. The largely episodic stories feel all at once like an introspective on otaku culture and a celebration of what sets it apart and brings its participants together. Inasmuch as the Jackass franchise, to kind of bring something totally unrelated into this, the Jackass franchise isn't, I don't think it's really about pranks and stunts, but rather about camaraderie and friendship. Genshiken kind of feels the same way. It's not really about what it's about. It's about why we love the things we love and why it brings us together. So, you know, to examine what brings people together is to examine people themselves, I think, and Genshiken does this quite lovingly. Like I mentioned before, the show is very episodic. Relationships progress serially, but events are mostly unconnected episode to episode. This works well for the different corners of fandom that the show attempts to tackle with each installment, but does little to encourage the viewer to watch more, I think. So I often felt satisfied watching a single episode and doing something else for a while. It's a very pleasant viewing experience, but it's not terribly engaging.
That could be nice for someone who wants a show that they can watch, you know, kind of lackadaisically and just, it's Sunday afternoon, I'll watch the next episode. I have 33 minutes.
Exactly. I mean, and it's definitely that kind of show. It's just like, you know, I'll throw an episode of Genshiken. It's, you know, it's fun. And that's exactly how it feels. The music is cute and never inappropriate, but it doesn't set itself apart in any particular way. However, the opening theme, which we're listening to right now, has become one of my favorite anime openings of all time. I love this song. At the core of the show's success are definitely its characters. They're truly loving portraits of believable archetypes among otaku. They're not terribly flattering all the time, but they're never mean-spirited. So they're just honest, perhaps, I guess, honest depictions of these kind of archetypes. So among the characters is a woman unlike any character I've ever seen in anime prior to watching Genshiken, nor have I seen since. Her name is Saki Kasukabe, played with deft cynicism by Satsuki Yukino. She's a smoking, drinking, fiercely independent upperclassman who starts dating Genshiken's resident pretty boy game wizard Makoto Kousaka. It's a choice she has no qualms about admitting were for his looks alone. Like, he's a pretty boy, he's an otaku, she doesn't care, she wants to be. That's basically how she goes about it. She has no interest in anything otaku-related and struggles for much of the series trying to understand why this hobby is so important to her boyfriend and his clubmates. It's a relationship that never feels forced or unearned, but rather real and kind of unflinching, like two people sitting in a room discussing whether they're going to have sex later or not. And one of them is playing a video game simultaneously and the other one's smoking a cigarette. Like, it's just kind of raw and I don't think you see that much. before or since. So it's kind of interesting. If anything negative could be said about their relationship, it's that Kosaka never does much of anything but play games, while Kasukabe is constantly trying to figure him and this whole otaku thing out. Kasukabe eventually comes around, but she's never meant to be a siphon for the quote-unquote normal audience.
Sounds like a lot of parents and their children.
Yeah.
You could make that connection.
Go out and play. But, you know, something that I can draw kind of a connection to or a similarity to is a series like The Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory never seems to be on the side of the outcasts. So for a show that's told from the perspective of geeks, the brunt of its humor is at the expense of those giving us perspective. The quote-unquote normies in the show provide the audience with a relatable escape from all of the sci-fi references and indignant glasses-pushing academic one-upsmanship. Genshiken deserves huge points for making Kasukabe exactly what she is to the rest of the characters, and that's an outsider. And that's something that I don't think that you get in shows like, you know, The Big Bang Theory, to bring, you know, Western media into this a little bit. But, you know, to have her perspective there, but to not have her there because the audience needs someone relatable that's not, oh, this weird geek otaku that's so obsessed with all this stuff, I think that making her an outsider is kind of brilliant, and the way they do it is really, really deft and kind of amazing. But all things considered, you know, bringing this whole thing to a close, all things considered, Genshiken is something special that we don't get enough of these days. It's a nice, well-meaning, thematically consistent piece about camaraderie on the outskirts of pop culture. I would recommend it to anyone who has ever called themselves a geek or any variation thereof. So I would have to give Genshiken, the first season, 4 glasses pushes out of 5.
How does the show compare to other geek-related shows like Animation Runner, Kurumi, or... there's another show that everybody has seen. I can't remember the name of it. Otaku no Video.
See, and that... I think Otaku no Video is probably the one thing you could draw the closest connection to, simply because of the lack of pandering and kind of fan service. And when it exists to illustrate a point about that, the nature of fandom. It's not there because this is a show about otaku and you're an otaku, so you like this kind of stuff. So here's some of this and here's some of this. And, you know, that's what pandering is. And that's why...
Oh, that's what the Dragon Ball Z movie did.
Yeah, there was lots of DBZ fan pandering in that movie. Yeah. Definitely. But yeah, I think this kind of stands apart. I don't think there are a lot of shows like this. In fact, I can't think of another otaku show that exists kind of in the same headspace that this one does. Just kind of ideologically and how it approaches the subject matter and you know, kind of tackles its characters with care. And I mean, it's one thing that's really great about the show is that it's not mean-spirited. Like, it feels like a love letter to geeks and what makes us geeks and why we love the things we love and why it brings us together and how it does that.
Kron in the chat says, put it this way, Genshiken makes you feel like you are a part of the club.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you feel like you were a member?
It's a really similar feeling. Like another show that, you know, I'm a fan of that I can kind of draw that feeling similarly to is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. If you get really into Buffy like I did, and you were, you know, devoted to it, and I'm a huge Buffy fan, by the way, you feel like you're part of the Scooby Gang. Like you feel like they're your friends. Like you want to hang out with
Daphne
Xander.
Daphne was hot.
Yeah, Daphne was hot. Did you watch Buffy?
No. Just a couple episodes you had on at your place.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's a really similar feeling. It makes you feel like part of the group. It makes you feel like, you know, they're your friends too. And I don't know, it's a really good show. I recommend it to anyone. I mean, the only thing I could knock it for, and I said this in the review, is that it's not one of those shows that makes you want to marathon it. Like, it's a really kind of lazy Sunday kind of, oh, throw in a couple episodes of this and, you know, enjoy it. But yeah.
Well, thank you, Cram.
You're welcome.
That was Cramtastic. You can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes. Don't forget to give us a rating. 5 out of 5 stars is what we like. Facebook.com/AnimeAddictsAnonymousPodcast. Like us there to make sure you don't miss any news or updates. Twitter.com/AAApodcast to get photo stream and our thought stream live from Japan.
And don't forget the new The new submissions for the Chiaki Dating Corner and for the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yes.
Which is done through mailbag and or PMs. But for Chiaki's Dating Corner or whatever she's calling it, there is a separate button.
Bag of Love.
Bag of Love on the top page of the website, so.
We broadcast live every Saturday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to check out the poll we're running on our site because we want your votes. And it will determine if we're broadcasting live every Saturday night on Ustream or something else. Thank you, those of you who joined us. It's always great chatting with you. Always a pleasure. And taking us out tonight is the song Reason from the anime Carnival by the artist Kamiyu. So, have a great night, everyone.
See ya.
See you later.
Save a kid, get on.